covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
How's it sound to be the best record in baseball once again? The Milwaukee Brewers are that team. They are in first place at 63-37. They are a high watermark, 26 games above 500. They are 4-0 in the second half. They didn't even need the dominant version of Jacob Mizorowski to dominate the New York Mets and their former ace, Freddy Peralta. 8-3 the victory today. The bottom of the order stepped up to the plate. Homers from Andrew Vaughn, Cooper Pratt, his first big league homer, and Joey Ortiz. He has had quite the month of July. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Dominic Catronio. Craig Kishon is with us tonight. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. Or you can join us over on the YouTube live chat as well on WTMJ's page. You know, Craig, I'm running out of words to describe the way this team, when it's firing on all cylinders like this, when it's looking like it's supposed to, and I shouldn't even say all cylinders, because, look, Yelly's slow at the moment, Bowers has cooled off, but Vaughn, great to see him, Miz only goes four innings, like, there is a lot of reasons that the Brewers should not have won this game, but yet they barely broke a sweat against the New York Mets. Quite frankly, if I would have told you on March 20th, that, hey, when the Brewers face the Mets for the first time in, you know, 4 months' time, in 3 months' time, that the Brewers are going to be the team that are expected to win, and it's, you know, not even going to have to play their best to beat the Mets. Everyone would have thought you're crazy. I just think that the floor for the Brewers has gotten so high, Craig, that nights like tonight, we don't even bat an eye at the quality of baseball we saw tonight.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to think where the Mets are right now, Dom, and nobody would have predicted that, but obviously they got off to a horrendous start, and they're one of the few teams that have not been able to get anything back together. And I tell you, for me, tonight, the weirdest thing about it was just seeing Freddie in the Mets uniform pitching against his old teammates, struggling and not pitching well, and I think you could almost predict the way this season has gone with Freddie with his new team, and, you know, nothing seems to have gone right for him, that you could almost predict this was going to happen. Jump on him early, let him go his five-plus innings, but get him for his seven runs, and that's what happened here tonight. So not a star-studded lineup by Milwaukee getting the job done, but that's how they've done this gradually as the season has progressed, and it is pretty amazing to see them on top of the Dodgers on game 100 here this season with the best record in all of baseball. It's just so oppo of how everybody probably except in Milwaukee around baseball would like to see it and expected to see it at this point.
You know, the way I look at the Brewers and what makes them so great and what makes them so fun is the fact that 1-9, they are a lineup that everyone does something a little bit different. I'm not going to call it like a Dodgers lineup where it's like everybody's a threat. I think it's a different word. I'm not trying to, you know, take anything away from the Brewers. It's that everyone has a different skill set, and everybody has something that you have got to be aware of. Cooper Pratt, he's joked about it plenty. We'll air his interview with Josh Mauer later on in the program about how it's taken him so long to hit his first big league homer, and yet he continued to deliver quality at-bats. I had a great conversation with Andrew Vaughn earlier today about not playing every day and what adjustments he needs to make. He was out on the field earlier today doing early batting practice work, and what does he do? He lines a shot to left center field for a home run. And then I talked to Joey Ortiz of just simply, hey man, what's clicking? And he goes, you know what? I'm just swinging at strikes. And what a simple way to say everyone is doing a little bit at the bottom of the order even that has found a way to provide, even when maybe sometimes the top half hasn't done their job. I think that, again, threat's not the right word. It's that you have to come ready to go because the sum of their parts is what makes the Brewers the best team in baseball right now.
Yeah, I mean, what they've created is they finally have a really good balance to their lineup, no matter who's in at this point. And you mentioned the Dodgers and you know, their everyday lineup you're going to see. It's not an everyday lineup for Milwaukee, and it hasn't been. I would say half of this lineup, you don't know if they're going to be in from game to game. But who's ever in there at whatever position it is, if they're platooning or doing whatever they're doing, they've done just enough to contribute to a lot of these wins. And Dom, it wasn't more than a few years ago. We've talked about this a little bit. Not more than a few years ago, you looked at this Brewer lineup and how mightily they struggled to even put the ball in play and to come out with any type of success. They had half the lineup, it seemed, was sub 200 or, you know, sub 220. I mean, you can't win like that, but you can win with what we're seeing here right now, because when these guys have opportunities, they're taking advantage of them. And look no further than what Pratt and Ortiz did tonight. I mean, they produced four runs. They had a couple of home runs from your 8-9 spot, and that ended up carrying the offense for the most part.
And for the Brewers, I mean, we'll talk about Freddie alone in the next segment, but I mean, the Brewers, they obviously know the scouting report on Freddie, and we can talk about all that in the next segment, but just take the Freddie and the familiarity aside from it. They punched first. They were up 3-0 in the third inning, and then an unearned run scores for the Mets, and the Brewers once again respond with two more in the bottom half of that third inning. They set the tone. They always had control of this game. And Miz certainly helps with that, the confidence that you carry when you know, as short as it turned out to be for Jacob Mizorowski today, I mean, he's not even the headline today. I mean, that hasn't happened very much. When Mizorowski pitches, he's generally the first subject. He's not. It's the offense today, because the way that the Brewers win games, it was a very quiet 3-for-9 with runners in scoring position. Two of those three hits were home runs. The team that has the fewest home runs in baseball hit three of them today. They also added four doubles today, too. So of the 10 hits, seven of them were for extra bases. This is the type of team that I think more teams are afraid of in October than are the teams that maybe hit lead in homers. Because, yes, homers are cool. I'm not turning down home runs. The Brewers only struck out eight times today. Eight times in eight innings while having seven extra base hits. That is the signal of a dynamic offense. And quite frankly, everyone's healthy. Everyone's here that's pretty much supposed to be here, aside from David Hamilton. This is what it's supposed to look like in October.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll take the home runs too. I mean, any day of the week for sure. But it's to me, the success all starts with the extra base hits. And the fact that this team can produce them, you know, in high quantity, game in and game out, it is big here at this point. I don't think the Brewers are going to expect a lot of home runs from Cooper Pratt and Joey Ortiz, but they're expecting these guys to, you know, rip the cover off the ball occasionally, and they're capable of doing that. And we know Andrew Vaughn is. I'll tell you right now, just on the subject of home runs at all, I mean, if he can start, you know, getting a few more of these to go over the fence, Dom, this team could be really dangerous, because every at bat he takes, it to me, it's look out. You know, if you're the other team, if you're, you know, the opposing pitcher here right now, he's that professional of a hitter right now. And I just think tonight was a nice, relaxed approach. They knew very well who they were facing in Freddie Peralta. And I mean, this game, for all intents and purposes, was over after the second inning.
I think the way that the Brewers punch first in all of these series, like the stat, they now have the best record in baseball overall, and they have the best record in the first game of a series. I don't think that's an accident by any stretch of the imagination. I think the Brewers sort of understand the power of that, especially now. They really have the upper hand, because not only did they win the first game of a series, they win it without needing Ashby, Uribe, or McGill. That's a huge plus. And we talked about it plenty yesterday, Craig. This is day one of five consecutive series that, quite frankly, you got to put the hay in the barn. You are the better team in each of the next five series, where you go the Mets, the Rockies, the Giants, the Angels, and I'm throwing the Pirates in there too. I think the Brewers are a better team than the Pirates today, and I put their best foot forward against them at the end of the first half. And today, step one, they're 4-0 in the second half, and it's exactly what you want to see as we continue this homestand.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, look, getting the first win in a series is just as important as getting that first pitch strike. And we talk about very often the success of any pitcher, not just Brewer pitchers, but any pitcher that they're going to face. If they can do that at a high level, I mean, you're setting yourself up for game wins. And if you can get this one and in the fashion that they did by, you know, preserving the back end of their bullpen, now you can really go for it here over the next 2 days to get the series win and potentially a sweep. If you win tomorrow night, you got an off day coming up on Thursday. So these are scenarios where sometimes you're happy to get a series win, but they might be a little bit happier in a better position right now to kick this team, this Mets team, while it's down here right now and really go for it.
Yep. So the Brewers get the victory 8-3. They are 63-37. It's a new high water mark on the year. Let's talk about Freddie, because that's obviously going to be a subject. For some reason, people on Twitter still want to make fetch a thing. It's not going to be a thing, but let's address Freddie. And he had some comments to the media post game with the New York media assembled. Brewers handed him the loss. He's 5-9. It has been odd to see Freddie Peralta struggle this much. We'll talk about that next on 620 WTMJ. Brewers victory number 63. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. You know, it's a pretty easy who's hot and who's cold. Who's cold is pretty much everybody on the Mets. Who's hot is pretty much everybody on the Brewers. And the cold can really be, you know, centered in on Freddie Peralta. It's been such an odd season for Freddie. His ERA now creeps over 5. He went 5 1/3, 8 hits, 7 runs, all earned, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts, 2 homers allowed. He is 5-9 on the season. With Craig Kishon, I'm Dominic Catronio. Freddie never had a losing record while wearing a Milwaukee Brewers uniform, and he's really dug himself a hole now to be 5-9 with only, you know, 2.5 months remaining in the season. You know, emotions aside, like emotions from knowing the guy and that sort of thing, Craig, I mean, I watched that pitcher tonight. I watched Freddie Peralta. Quite frankly, that didn't look like Freddie Peralta. I just didn't see the same spark. I thought the mechanics were different. The repertoire was different. He was the furthest thing from fastball Freddie. He was really forcing the breaking ball. It was effective at times, and at times it burned him. I don't know what's going on over there in Queens with Freddie Peralta, but that was not a guy that, you know, the Brewers, you know, got him to be top five. Like, I think people need to take a step back here, Craig, because that dude was top five in Cy Young Award voting last year. I know we can nitpick and complain about Freddie not going deep into games sometimes and that sort of thing. Like, the dude was still top five in MVP and had 200 strikeouts in the season last year. That's a bona fide quality pitcher. I just didn't see that pitcher tonight. I don't know what's wrong with him.
Yeah, and I don't know either, Dom, as far as it, this has obviously been a progression as the season has gone. I'm sure what we saw out of Freddie tonight is what the Mets have been producing for the most part all season long. So let's face it, he's not on a winning team. That's why he doesn't have a winning record, and he's not pitching like he's a member of the Milwaukee Brewers pitching staff here right now. To me, I think that's the biggest thing. And that is, look, it's not even a be careful what you wish for thing with Freddie. The Brewers decided to trade him away in the final year of this contract. They just knew it was the right time, and they scored very well on this trade, and the Mets thought that Freddie was going to be a big part of the rotation, and it just obviously hasn't worked out. I think tonight specifically for him, there's no way that he didn't feel emotional. There's no way, you know, coming out of that third base dugout to start the bottom half of the first inning, he's like, whoa, what's going on right now? Reality's setting in. Here's a big crowd here, and they're appreciating that I used to be a Brewer, but that's not the situation we're in tonight. Now I'm the enemy. So I'm not saying he didn't handle it well. I think tonight's probably what the Mets have seen just all season long. I mean, he's just not fastball Freddie here right now. And you know, his breaking ball was his nemesis here tonight. I thought a lot of things that he served the Brewers way, they basically, you know, hit that ball off the tee and went for it. And the Brewers' approach was very good against their old buddy.
I mean, he threw four different types of breaking balls today between the sweeper, the curve, the slow curve, which is a new development, and the slider. And then on top of that, he still threw 54% fastballs, which, I mean, he's been about 50-50, you know, the last couple of seasons. It used to be 65-35. Even when he was first up, it was really 75-25. But the velo was about the same. I mean, you know, we were used to him fluctuating. You can look under the hood. The extension numbers are way down this year. That could be coming with age as well. But I sit here and I go, like, I'll put my hand up because I was so vociferously against trading Freddy Peralta at the time because of the value you get out of somebody like Freddy is so much more than the cost that, you know, effective that what he was going to be worth. And, you know, I think a few folks who had asked like a month ago, could the Brewers go acquire Freddy Peralta? And I immediately said no because, like, I have seen this version of Freddy so far this season. I watch a lot of national baseball. I don't know if many people watch more baseball than me, Craig. But, like, I think Brewers fans kind of saw it today and realized, like, oh, whoa. Yeah, no, I don't think I need that at the trade deadline. And I don't want to have another reclamation project and another, well, what if it works out? Because I just think that right now, That's not the version of the pitcher that we know. It's not. I'm not saying it's not beyond fixing, but it may not be worth the squeeze to get the juice of whatever's left of Freddy Peralta.
Yeah, and you know, look, Tom, I'm not sure they need Freddy Peralta the way he's going here right now either, and to try to fix whatever could be wrong at this point with only, you know, a little over 2 months to go here in the regular season. So, and that's a good thing. You know what? As bad as that may sound, they don't need Freddy Peralta in this starting rotation here right now. So I think the worst part of this whole scenario with him, and I think you'll agree with me, this guy is going to be a free agent and has still got a lot of years left to pitch in this league. And it's really unfortunate that maybe his worst year as a big leaguer is coming at a time where he should be able to be showcasing all of his good stuff and having some success so he can find a new team next year. And I'm not saying it's going to be difficult, but it's pretty tough right now to reach those goals, that's for sure.
And on Freddie as well, just shout out to the fans because there were two tribute videos played before the game combined with both Devin and for Freddie. While Freddie was warming up, he took a moment to doff his cap and everything. And you understand, like, part of things you have to do. He even came out during batting practice to say hello to a couple of guys and then went back to the dugout. But then, you know, he obviously was not happy about exiting the game the way he did, giving up seven runs. And still, the fans here in this ballpark gave him a standing ovation walking off the field. I think that did two things. Number one, it obviously recognizes, like, hey, we know you're on the other side. It gives closure for the fans to say, you know what, we saw him one more time since the trade was in the offseason. And the other thing for Freddie's, I think it's important for Freddie to kind of feel that embrace one more time from Milwaukee, because the last time he pitched on this mound, it was game two of the NLCS when the Brewers lost that game to the Dodgers and gave up a home run to Max Muncy. That was the last time he had pitched here. And I just think that closure on both sides is really important for this moving forward. He talked about a post game that Milwaukee will always have a place in his heart. It's the place where his two children were born. He obviously has 8 years of a career here and so many friends over in that dugout. But this was an important step in the closure of the book. Maybe the Brewers see him again in a month's time when they go to Queens. Maybe not. Maybe they see him in another different uniform after the trade deadline. But today was the day to say, you know what? That chapter of Freddy Peralta in Milwaukee is done. You cleared that hurdle, and we'll see what the future comes for him.
Yeah, the fans here are the best. We know that, and it didn't surprise me to see the ovation for Freddy when he exited today's game, too. Obviously, he's dejected, and just the fans being able to pick him up maybe a little bit. There's to me, I've said this for years, nobody has had a better smile in the game of baseball coming from a player that I can ever remember but Freddy Peralta. And we saw that tonight occasionally, especially early in the game. He was happy to be back, you could tell. But it's different here right now for him, and who knows what the future holds. Like you're saying, we may see him in a different uniform yet before this season's up. But for Friday tonight, I feel a little bit for him, but I'm really, really happy that the fans treated him the way he deserved to be treated.
Yeah, it's a really fun moment to say when guys leave Milwaukee, how much they love Milwaukee and how the fan base kind of doubles down on that. And even Lance McCullers talked about it, that how Josh Hader still says great things about this city. So pat yourselves on the back, Brewers fans, for making Freddie Peralta feel welcome, and then pat yourselves on the back for also maybe rattling him those first three innings. He's a certain candidate for who's cold. The Brewers offense is certainly hot. It's brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. After a day at the lake, the golf course, or the ballpark, come home to comfort with Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical, and keep your AC running at its best with a midsummer checkup. Visit Sider.com, Seider.com, to schedule service today, and stay cool all summer long. Okay, let's finally get to the Miz. He only went four innings. Are we freaking out? Of course not. That's why he's in the third segment. We talk about Miz and what it means for him next on 620 WTMJ. Brewers get the victory 8-3 in the first of three against these New York Mets. Welcome back. I'm Dominic Catronio. Craig Gishon is with us as well. The Miz went four innings, four hits, one unearned run, one walk, and six strikeouts. He was pulled after just 65 pitches. 45 of them were strikes. He also had 15 swings and misses today. So even in that short outing, he would say he wasn't great. I think everybody else would say he was great. He admitted his legs weren't quite underneath him today. And there are two schools of thought, Craig, when you hear the Brewers pulled him early and that his legs and his mechanics were a little out of sync and he was making adjustments on the fly. One school is freaking out, saying, oh my gosh, they're limiting his innings, he's going to get hurt, they're doing all this stuff. Or the other camp is saying, oh hey, the Brewers are being really smart with their most prized piece of their season's hopes. And I am very firmly in that camp of just saying, hey, Miz, there is so much testing that is done before the game to understand what kind of an output a pitcher can put out, health, and given he hasn't pitched since the Cardinals series and all that fun stuff. I mean, he hasn't pitched in 2 weeks. He deserves a little bit of grace, understanding that, hey, if the legs weren't there, let's listen to him. Let's let him build back up. He compared it post-game today, Craig, to like he's building back up in spring training. So today was step one. His next one will likely be on Sunday against the Colorado Rockies. That's not yet official. And, all right, get things rolling in the right direction, and there's no need to burn him out for a team that, again, is very, very, very likely, almost certainly, going to October.
We only need to make one thing perfectly clear to everybody if they're not clear on it. The Brewers know what they're doing when it comes to developing their pitchers, treating their pitchers, getting their pitchers ready, taking care of their pitchers, all of those things. I would never, ever, ever, ever question what they're doing with anybody. Because here's the thing. If something's wrong with Jacob Mizorowski, do you think he'd be out there pitching four innings right now? Absolutely not. I mean, this isn't playoff time where you would push the buttons on that. So they know what they're doing. I am pretty sure, Dom, that they told him to completely shut it down. They skipped his last start before the All-Star break. And he even said, I barely picked up a baseball and did anything with it except look at it for, you know, several days. So, you know, what they did today was perfectly planned. He pitched well in his four innings. I mean, he was throwing 104 in that first inning alone. So to me, he looked rested and ready at that point. But they had a game plan. Four innings. He worked with the early lead. He didn't have any pressure on himself, and he still produced the same numbers for the most part that we're used to seeing from this guy.
And again, with the off days coming up, these next two off days, you can use them to your advantage to give him an extra day of rest here coming up. Let's say maybe they use that off day to have him throw on Sunday, as normally would probably be on Saturday, and then use the off day again to then throw the following week on Saturday in Anaheim, and then you have him pitch maybe the finale against the Pirates and start that stretch going on here. I mean, all this stuff is mapped out well in advance for the Brewers to make sure that as he's going to blow by his career high in innings pitched, and as he's going to continue to be important and do, you know, continue to go deeper into uncharted waters for Jacob Mizorowski's career. He has always said, look, I was given an assignment in the offseason to get stronger. I got stronger. The Brewers agree. I got stronger. Now I am trusting the process that the Brewers understand. Let's make sure that weight stays. I think people would be shocked to know that pitchers lose a ton of weight throughout the season. I mean, you are doing intense cardio every other day, essentially, between your flat ground and between your bullpen and then between your game, the game being the most intense of that. You are sweating in the summer. It is easy to lose weight as a pitcher in baseball. So they are making sure that Miz makes it through and keeps that strength on him all the way to the most important games of the season. Like you said, there's no reason not to trust them. And one of the ways they're able to do that here, Craig, is to hand the ball to Lance McCullers for three innings. That was a nice little, okay, there's some ingredients to work with here. A lot of things that the Brewers do well. The number one thing that jumped out to me about the outing from Lance McCullers Jr. today, Craig, was, yes, you can easily say it's the arsenal, but first and foremost, not a single four-seam fastball, cutters, changeups, and a flash, a few curveballs. He threw the two pitches that he needs to develop the most to go with that curveball. You can already see the Brewers pixie dust being sprinkled on him, because if this is going to be a multi-inning weapon out of the bullpen for the Brewers moving forward, sign me up. He doesn't need to be a starter, because I liked what I saw from McCullers tonight.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed for sure. And I'm not overly familiar with you know, all of his accomplishments with the Astros, since that was over on the AL side. We know what he did in the postseason. That's well documented. You follow the postseason, you see how well this guy has pitched in the past. But the last few years, he's had a tough time staying healthy. So you take a flyer on this guy coming in here, but he's such a pro's pro. And I thought today, tonight's game, that's how he pitched. I mean, he's got a five pitch mix to work with. It was fun seeing him toss that knuckle curve and getting a lot of success with that curveball again tonight in his debut. He just looked to me like he was so in control. And I think B and Rock kind of mentioned, you know, with Woody going down now for the rest of the season, how much a guy like Lance McCullers can pick up the rest of the team now and say, this is how it gets done. I've been there. I've done that before. And watch me pitch at the same time. Unfortunately, Woody's not going to be able to showcase that, but McCullers can. And if they're going to do it like this, they're going to do it. They're going to do it in a way to make him successful again and him to eventually help the team out in a situation where he comes in and it's not an 8-1 ball game. Things are tighter. Things are going to be more meaningful. And don't forget, too, this is the first time he's ever put on a different uniform other than an Astro uniform in his career, coming over here. And he just went out and did his job, man. It was great to see. I mean, it just he displayed a lot of really positive hope here down the stretch.
Yeah, a couple dying quails to the outfield. Didn't really give up a lot of loud contact. And yeah, okay, he walked Juan Soto and he came around to score. A lot of people have walked Juan Soto and him come around to score. It's not a big deal. I like what I saw from McCullers. I liked what I saw from the B bullpen today to keep things fresh. And now you hand the ball tomorrow to Brandon Sprout. You're going to need a lot of bullpen available tomorrow unless Sprout says, you know what, it's time for me to grow up. He has been continually challenged to say, this team keeps giving me a chance. I need to do it, and I need to do it against my former team here tomorrow, because those last two starts of the first half in Arizona and against the Pirates, he is obviously not proud of them. But if that happens again, I fear the wrath of Pat Murphy. But the Brewers are running out of patience with Brandon Sproat, but I still see the ingredients in Sproat. Tomorrow's a big day for him.
Yeah, it really is, and we've talked about how long that leash has been, maybe up until now. But look, at some point, it's got to be up to the player. It's got to be up to this kid to go out there. And maybe a turning point for him is facing his old team. That would be great to see. I think he's got, you know, some challenges in that lineup, but he's also got some points of that lineup where he can display his stuff and be successful as well. So, but he's got to take the bull by the horns, man. He's got to get after it. He's got to be aggressive. And he's just got to be, the guy who says it's time for me to take that next step. That's what I think he hopes and everyone hopes to see tomorrow night.
And that's the key. It's a step. It's not meant to be a leap. It's not meant to get him to the finish line. It's just, let's stack a good day. We were stacking good days there at the start of June, in the middle of June, and they've kind of taken a step back lately. So let's try to get step one back. The stuff is too good for him to be struggling this much, in my opinion. But tomorrow will be a big day. Same time, same place, 6:40, Brewers and Mets. Craig, appreciate you these last 2 days. You're off for the rest of this series, and we'll talk to you for the weekend that is on the way against these Colorado Rockies in the alumni game on Friday.
All right, Dom, looking forward to it for sure.
All right, Craig Keshawn here on WTMJ. So a little buy or sell here on Brandon Sproat. Time for him to get things going in the right direction. Do you buy it? Do you sell it? I still think he can be a viable big league starter, but tomorrow's a big day for him to get back on track. It's brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, powered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com. We'll get to some texts. We'll hear from Cooper Pratt, and we'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, as the Brewers win 8-3 over the New York Mets on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Winning is fun, man. I should also clarify, I didn't work the Pirates series. I had that series off. Heaven forbid a man wants to take a bachelor party. So, yeah, I'm coming in fresh. I'm coming in off of 4-5 against the St. Louis Cardinals. I didn't have to work either doubleheader. I'm feeling great. What's everyone down and out about? 4-0. Come on. They've won, you know, 8 of their last 9 games that I've worked. What do you mean? What happened in Pittsburgh? What? Ooh. I'm joking. Brewers win 8-3. A couple of texts that have rolled in here tonight. A lot about Freddie, of course, over on the chat line as well. We still love Freddie from Tom. I think it's all mechanical. The extension fell off. The arm looks like it's dragging. I think he's fixable, but maybe not worth the gamble. Mark, seems like Freddie has a good shot to go somewhere else and resurrect his career. They were definitely smart to get what they got for him. Yeah, I mean, Brandon Sproat is still in the big leagues. Jet Williams is depth. He's currently hurt right now. He's got a wrist issue down in AAA right now, but there were opportunities for him to come up earlier in the year. The Brewers did not bring him up. This one from the 414. I was wondering why fans gave Freddie a standing O after giving up 5 runs. Maybe it's time to send him home. Well, I don't think he's coming home. Again, he gave up 6 runs, but the reason they gave him a standing O is just a appreciation and a closure and a moment to say, we still love you. We know you're in the other jersey. No one asked for a trade. This was a very, you know, understandable move. Brewers fan, and again, you've heard me talk about this before. You've been listening to me for a while. There is a difference between a baseball crowd, a weekend crowd, and a holiday crowd, okay? A holiday crowd is 4th of July, is Labor Day, is Memorial Day, it's Father's Day, where it's like, yeah, let's go to a ball game. Like that's the one thing we want to do, right? Then the weekend crowd is your weekend crowd, where maybe there's a great giveaway or just the family out here having to run the bases post game. I'm not disparaging those, but there's a difference between those and 35,000 on a Monday night against the Mets, right? This was a baseball crowd. These are the diehards on a Monday night in the middle of the summer. Now, Miz pitching certainly helped sweeten that pot, but to understand the moment, to give him the applause that he deserves, and when Devin gets in the game, he will get the applause that he deserves too. Let's just hope that Devin gets in the game with the Brewers in the lead, and they need to give Devin some work. So I'm totally fine with that. This one, putting the hand up from the 262. I'm not as confident as I was in June at my suggestion to pick up Freddie Peralta. I think a lot of Brewers fans are starting to realize that as the trade rumors swirl. Just doesn't make a lot of sense for the crew right now. Jeff from Elkhorn, great job by Murph, easing the Miz back into it. I love how it's different guys carrying the team at different times. Mitchell and Joey are hot right now. I would like to see a few bullpen arms, a right-handed batter, another starter, but there's just not that many sellers right now. You're right. We got 2 weeks to decide, 2 weeks from today, to decide who are the contenders and who are the pretenders. And a key result that happened tonight down at Wrigley, it's still going. This game is nuts. It's 5-5 now in the bottom of the ninth. Kenley Jansen is blowing it. And oh my goodness, it's a 3-0 count on Alex Bregman. He gets one over the plate for strike one. Bases loaded, 3-1 count on Alex Bregman in the bottom of the ninth inning in a 5-5 ball game. Detroit had a 5-3 lead heading to the bottom of the eighth inning. And then the Cubs got a homer from Ian Happ, a two-run shot to tie the game. All right, Kenley Jansen gets another strike. It's now 3-2. Guess what he threw? Of course, it was a cutter. So bases loaded, two outs, full count in a tie game. Kenley Jansen versus Alex Bregman. I'm just looking at the stat feed here. I'm not actually watching the screen. And the pitch is a foul ball. All right. Well, I'm not going to do the whole at-bat here. We're getting to Cooper Pratt, getting him loaded up here in my screen here in just a moment. Cooper Pratt caught up with Josh Maurer. We haven't really talked about, we didn't really get a chance to talk about Cooper with Craig Kishon because I wanted to save for this interview. First big league home run for Cooper Pratt. Man, what a moment. You'll hear how excited he was, obviously, to get the silent treatment, to finally get the monkey off his back, if you will, to just sort of get that box checked, because it can weigh the longer it happens. And Luis Lara nearly got one out the other day, too, and I'm sure you would have heard about that from his teammates. But let's hear from Cooper Pratt after connecting on his first long ball.
8-3, the final over the Mets, and the man of the hour, Cooper Pratt, kind enough to stick around to join us here on the Potawatomi Casino Hotel postgame show. Cooper, thanks so much, man. We appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.
All right, so take me through the swing against Freddy Peralta. First time you've ever faced him. And you go deep in that first at bat. Tell me what you saw and what it felt like.
It was a slider, and it was the second pitch, first pitch. He threw a fastball, and it was kind of weird, the fastball. So, I mean, I took the first one, and then he kind of quick pitched the second one, and I just kind of was ready for fastball, and he threw a slider that kind of ran into my barrel, and I hit it. And I didn't hit it, like, great or anything, but I backspun it enough to sneak out, and man, it felt good.
I was going to say, you know, you talk to guys who get their first major league home run, and they always say it feels like they're floating around the bases. Is that what it felt like for you,
oh,
or do you even remember it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it dang near took me 200 at-bats, but I've got close a couple times. I just couldn't get over the stinking fence. But yeah, man, running around the bases, it was pretty sick to finally get that out of the way. Now I can breathe. Holy smokes.
It wasn't 200. It wasn't that many. But yeah, we're so happy that you got it done. What was it like when you got back to the dugout and everybody gave you the silent treatment?
Man, I was just so pumped to finally get out of the way. And then we scored and we won too. But when I got back in the dugout, yeah, obviously silent treatment. So I was just like, I was going to go down the thing and just, hey, thanks, guys. Hey, appreciate you. But decided to just put my stuff away, and I walked down to grab my hat and stuff, and then they let it on me. It was pretty cool, man.
It's a sign of affection, I think.
Yeah, I mean, oh, man, that felt good.
Cooper Pratt with us here. The Brewers win it 8-3. He had three hits tonight for the Brewers in this victory. What did you see from Jacob Mizorowski for the four innings that he was out there?
Gas. No, I mean, I'm sure he's going to tell you he didn't have his best stuff tonight, but he still dominated. He's still probably, if not the best pitcher in the big leagues, and he's done it all year. I mean, it's impressive. It really is. And go out there every time and give us a chance to win. He's doing it.
Cooper, thanks so much. We appreciate it, and we're so happy for you. Congratulations on getting that first one out of the way tonight.
Thank you, guys.
It was a fun moment for Cooper. He's an easy pick for our player of the game. It's brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive into summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit IAMilwaukee.com. International Autos Group, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Murph, coming up next, highlights to follow on 620 WTMJ. Brewers get the victory 8-3 over the New York Mets. I'm Dominic Catronio. Thanks for joining us. 4-0 here in the second half. Alex from Oshkosh texting in. Pratt, the first big league homer. Three more bombs for the crew. Series opening dub. Best record in the National League and Major League Baseball. This one from 715. I listened to Freddie's postgame interview on the Mets channel. They asked him numerous questions about facing his old team. A lot of that was from the local Milwaukee media, of course. He talked about his two kids being born here, how he appreciated the applause, how much he enjoyed the team, making the playoffs, and how many times it was, and many times were extremely emotional, and he was teary-eyed. He still bleeds Brewers blue and gold. I mean, he was traded for at a very young age. You know, the Adam Lind deal, that still gives, right? That's a heck of a trade tree if you want to go back and look at that one. So the Brewers beat up Freddie Peralta today. They tag him for six earned against him. The manager, Pat Murphy, was happy about the victory today, happy about Miz. Despite it being a shortened outing, it was by design. Here is the manager, Pat Murphy.
We would have probably let him go further if he was, you know, his delivery and his legs felt great. And yeah, I think he was a little bit out of it. You know, the long layoff kind of affected his delivery and everything else. And I think it was important to notice that and get him out of there then. The velo dropped. He couldn't find the rhythm on his heater and, you know, went to all off-speed stuff. And I think it was important we got him out of there. And the job that the McCullers did was incredible, you know. The poise he showed, and it's tough to pitch sometimes like that, but he did a great job, as well as Yoho and Anderson did big things. So,
but is this something you'll continue to monitor with?
Exactly. I mean, he didn't throw a commanded heater past the second inning. You know what I mean? It was kind of coming off his legs and kind of getting stuck, and then trying to get out of it, and the ball was sailing. So, concerning.
How about Cooper tonight? First career homer, three hits, first career three-hit game.
Yeah. Yeah, Cooper's very capable, very capable. He's got a lot to learn in the game, and nights like tonight are very encouraging, very encouraging.
So having him, it sounds like, you know, he's on board with some of this careful moving forward. Is that important to you?
Yeah, I don't know if it's carefulness. It's just being mindful of, like, when a guy's not right and you see his delivery, he's got a lot of arms and legs moving out there, you know what I mean? And his stuff ain't great. You don't let him just grind through it, you know, because that's when things happen. You know, when your legs aren't underneath you, you don't have that perfect delivery. It's a lot different. You can practice all you want. It's a lot different when you get in there and when you're not in the rhythm of doing it sometimes. To the question earlier today, is it better to give them these long breaks, or is it better to kind of keep going with a little, you know, maybe a little modified along the way? So we're certainly not letting them go out there and struggle today.
The secondaries were a little more in response to not spotting the heater then?
Yeah. Figuring, hey, something I can get in the zone right now and be successful and get through this thing right now, because, you know, he said after the third inning, you know, my legs just aren't underneath me. He felt it early.
It seemed the reception Freddie got from the crowd, first when that video aired before the game, and then secondly after he left the game. Just how did you feel about just seeing kind of the crowd?
Yeah, this makes you feel good because the crowd's a real baseball crowd, you know what I mean? The crowd understood what Freddie did for our deal in the years he's been here, the success that the organization has had year in and year out, and it was due to that. You know, without all the amenities that some of the teams have, Freddie was at the core of this team becoming, or this organization becoming, consistently successful. And he represented it so well as the type of person he was and the consistency that he had. Not surprised that the fans reacted the way they did.
On the colors, was the plan always to use them multiple innings, or was that kind of determined by the game script?
Yeah, no, I think we wanted to use them multiple innings. We wanted to find the right spot. You know, he hadn't thrown in a while. I think he got gassed there in that third inning, but he did a great job for us, and he showed us that his pitchability is still alive and well. And
what do you like about your at-bats, especially early?
I didn't have any. I would have, I think, I thought we had good at-bats, you know, when we take our walks like we did, well, at least the first one by Churio was big, Terang doubles and scores them, you know, then Pratt comes through there and or Mitchell comes through with a big knock with two outs. Pratt gets us a run. We go to the next inning, Mitchell Vaughn, and now we're off and rolling. Now we didn't execute a down angle read to score another run, which kind of ticked me off. And then the big blow by Ortiz. But, I thought the at-bats were good. I'm always looking for more. You know what I mean? I'm not always satisfied, but.
What sparked the surge for Ortiz if he played this last stretch or so?
Yeah, I think the reality of what situation he was in, you know, like just the reality. Like, look, they went out and signed a shortstop. And a young kid's going to come up and play shortstop, and, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. Now all I got to do is relax and play. And I understand that, like, hey, this is the way it's going to be. So I'm not going to, you know, try to maintain or try to produce. I'm just going to just play and enjoy who I am, enjoy that I'm in the big leagues. And, you know, I think that's kind of letting all that go and realizing he's still a valuable member of our team, and he's proven he is, and then some.
Did you see a change in his pregame work, his preparation,
no.
His attitude when that
attitude changes, maybe? Attitude. Took the pride. I think a ton of bricks was off his shoulders, and I think he just decided, hey, I'm just going to play. I'm not going to worry about what I can't control. I'm just going to play. And I'm a good enough defender that I'm going to be in the big leagues a long time. We gave him some examples of players. The kid from the Dodgers that's such a terrific player, Rojas. You know, this is a similar path that Rojas had, you know. Couldn't break through, little cup of coffee, couldn't break through. Got a chance to play every day with the Marlins. Things went well. Then towards the end of his career, it's like, you know, he's a relied on guy, both offensively and defensively, because he's learned what he needed to do to be successful offensively.
Joey's been on a good stretch. I mean, he's hitting over 300 his last 14 games, and a lot to like from the defense, as we know. Win or lose, Murph gives it to you straight, and around here, so does Old Fashioned Roofing. Veteran-owned, Wisconsin-built, the Pat Murphy post-game press conference is brought to you by Old Fashioned Roofing, where a handshake still matters. Highlights up next on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Aces on the mound, Jacob Mizorowski and Freddy Peralta. Freddy for the first time as a visitor at American Family Field. After a scoreless top of the first for Miz, featuring three strikeouts, the Brewers got to work in the bottom half. A one-out walk to Jackson Churio. Bryce Terang with two strikes. Hit it where they ain't.
Here's the 2-2 from Freddy Peralta. Swing, a line drive down the right field line, headed towards the corner. Churio's on the move. He's around second. He's headed to third. He's going to be sent around third. Terang stumbles around second. The throw goes behind him. It's an RBI double by Bryce Terang, and it's 1-0 Brewers.
Then with two outs, they still weren't done in the first inning. The hottest hitter in July in the majors, Garrett Mitchell.
Terang at second, 1-0 pitch. Is a line drive and a right, a base hit. Terang will score. Mitchell stops at first. It's 2-0 Brewers. Brewers played a couple of runs against their former teammate, Freddy Peralta.
You blink, they have the lead, and that's plenty for Jacob Mizorowski. He went 1-2-3 in the second, and that was really his most stressful inning the rest of the day. In the bottom half of the second, keep the party going with Cooper Pratt.
Here's the pitch. Fly ball deep left center. Robert back. It's gone! The first big league home run for Cooper Pratt, and he takes Freddy Peralta deep. The first of many, hopefully, for that young man.
He floated around the bases. He enjoyed every second of that trip. The Mets would score an unearned run at the top of the third. The Brewers would respond once again with a two-out rally. Guess who? Garrett Mitchell, of course. A double down the left field line. And Andrew Vaughn back into the starting lineup and contributing.
Vaughn steps in there. First pitch from Peralta. He is a fly ball. Deep left center field. This one's headed back there, and it is gone! Andrew Vaughn, a two-run blast, and the Brewers all over Freddy Peralta. It is 5-1 Milwaukee.
And yet they still weren't done against Freddie. Miz was done after four. Lance McCullers Jr. and Craig Yoho would settle things down and keep this game a 5-1 lead for the Brewers. In the bottom of the sixth, it was blown open by Joey O.
Here's the 0-1 to Ortiz. Curry deals. Big curveball hit down the left field line. It is up and gone. Joey Ortiz with a three-run homer, and it's 8-1. Good guys.
It was a screaming liner. It was a two-iron in the wind. It was a homer number five for Ortiz. Three of them have come in the last 2.5 weeks. That would be it for the scoring for the crew. A couple of runs late for the Mets, no big deal. Lance McCullers went three innings. Craig Yoho earned his second win, and Grant Anderson struck out three in the ninth for an 8-3 Brewers victory. We'll take our final break of the program, give you one last update on that Cubs game. It's getting wacky. Yep, they went to extras on 620 WTMJ. All right, tomorrow, a couple of rookies. Brandon Sproat for the Brewers. The Mets have the lefty, Zach Thornton. He's only going to be making his fourth big league start. 15 punchouts in 17 innings pitched. Same time, 6:40 tomorrow. We'll be on the air at 6:05 with the On Deck Show, Built by Menards. I'll be with you after the game once again, same time, same place. And if you missed any of the shows, Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts. And maybe you're listening to there right now. Go ahead and drop a rating, drop a review if you like it. Helps more than you know as we really kick off our second half coverage. All right, update on that crazy Cubs game. They are in extras. Jansen did end up striking out Alex Bregman to end regulation. They go to the 10th, and after a comebacker from Riley Green chased Trent Thornton from this game, the Tigers scored three in the top of the 10th, so they will lead 8-5. Heading to the bottom half of the 10th. But the real story in baseball is the Boston Red Sox. 14 wins in a row. Caleb Durbin, old friend. Game-winning homer in the bottom of the 8th. A go-ahead shot over the monster. Man, back-to-back years that Caleb Durbin and Andre Monasterio have been involved with a 14-game winning streak. Who'd have thunk it? I'd have two nickels, as the meme goes. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Maybe it's 15 in a row for the Sox. Matt Yazel's our producer. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.